And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. President Trump's poll numbers are rising, but not in the categories he would like. Unfavorable feelings toward Trump are ticking up. That's according to a new Grinnell College national poll. Came out today. It's a poll of over 1,000 adults, a partnership between Grinnell College and the nationally renowned pollster J. Ann Selzer. Joining us with the results and some analysis, Peter Hansen, Grinnell College Associate Professor of Political Science and National Poll Director. Peter, welcome to our studio.
Thanks very much. It's nice to be here.
Let's start off with what I mentioned there at the outset. This poll is a lot of interesting questions you're asking. Let's go right to the politics here. What did this poll reveal about job approval? What did you ask and what did you find out?
Well, we're very interested in understanding the political environment as we head into the 2020 presidential election. So of course, we start by asking about the president's approval rating. We asked about it in a number of dimensions, but the first question, of course, is how do you approve of the job he's doing as president? Here we find that 40% of Americans approve and 50% disapprove.
Mm-hmm. And did you break that down into different groups or look at it in any different way than just the general overview?
We do. Well, we can look at it in a variety of different dimensions. And what we're seeing is, in some ways, a lot of stability in opinion. His approval ratings among Democrats are very, very low, correspondingly quite high among Republicans. But he has net disapproval among independents. So one of our takeaways is that the president's base remains very solidly in favor of him, but he just hasn't done a good job winning over any other voters.
Mm-hmm. Has this been tracked over time by your poll?
It has. This is our third poll, and these results are consistent with what we've seen in the past.
Mm-hmm. You also asked if we had election day today, what the results would be. We're just over a year from the general election in 2020. What did you find out there?
Well, we asked our respondents whether they would definitely vote to reelect the president. And here the numbers are quite troubling for his campaign. So only 38% of likely voters say that they would definitely vote to reelect the president. Now, about 10% more say they would definitely not vote to reelect him. So that's a pretty troubling figure for the Trump campaign. It suggests that they have a lot of work to do if they hope to be successful in 2020.
So if I look at the numbers here, 47% of likely voters would definitely vote for someone else besides a president. That is, I mean, when we come to the questions, that's sort of cemented in as far as a pollster can make it, right?
That's right. So again, the wording there is definitely vote or definitely vote for someone else. And so that's a tough number for the president. It means that there are very few people out there that are actually persuadable in the upcoming election.
Mm-hmm. When you say the president is in trouble, are you comparing it to similar polls in past presidential elections?
Well, any candidate for office would like to see that number start ticking above 50% for sure. That's a level where I think they would feel secure. But there's a lot of warning signs here that are different than what we've seen in past races. You know, so the number I really like to look at has to do with the economy. You know, historically, presidents who govern over strong economies tend to be reelected. It's a very strong correlation. And so we asked about the economy in this poll. And there's a really interesting disconnect, actually, out in the public. 50% of Americans think that the president is doing a good job managing the economy. Mm-hmm. It's the highest level we see for him in any category we ask about in terms of his approval.
People's pocketbooks tell them everything's fine.
That's right.
For most people.
That's right. Well, you know, we asked three different versions of a question about the economy, and in each case, people are very confident. They feel they're moving closer to their personal financial goals. They feel the economy's gotten better since Donald Trump was elected, and a plurality of them think the economy's going to continue to do well in the next 12 months.
Okay, here comes the but. Here comes the disconnect. What is it?
Yet only 38% of them say they would definitely vote to reelect the president. That's just a striking disconnect. It suggests that all these other things that are weighing down this presidency have taken their toll and that Donald Trump is not able to benefit from the strong economy in the way past presidents have.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about some of these other things because you polled about these other things weighing down this president. An interesting question there about foreign influence helping out a candidate. How did you attack that?
Well, of course, we're very interested in the ongoing impeachment inquiry in Congress. And so we decided to approach that issue in three different ways. The first thing we did is we asked about the president's underlying conduct. So you remember, he's essentially admitted that he asked the president of Ukraine to investigate one of his political opponents in the 2020 presidential election, Joe Biden. And the question is, do Americans think this is appropriate? Now, here we have virtual unanimity. Over 80% of Americans, Democrats, Republicans, independents, think that it is inappropriate for a political candidate in the United States to request assistance from a foreign government to help them win an election.
Okay, so wait a minute. So we have a consensus here. This is unusual in this day and age among Republicans, Democrats, and independents. When we split it off, what I see you doing is splitting it off from the impeachment. Should this president be impeached and removed, or should the inquiry go ahead? This is simply a question of should a candidate be helped by a foreign actor?
Yeah, more specifically, is it okay or not okay for a candidate to ask for that kind of assistance? Across the board, Americans say no, regardless of party.
Right. And we have other groups that you polled there to tell us about some of the other groups. Republicans, you had evangelicals, rural, as well as urban.
It doesn't matter who you ask. Across the board, Americans think that this kind of conduct is unacceptable.
Mm-hmm. And all in the 80th percentile there.
That's right. Once you're up at that level, there's just not a lot of variation between groups. You can look at any of the particular groups of voters that have been strong supporters of the president. You mentioned rural voters, for example. Everybody thinks this is something that a candidate should not be doing.
Okay. So there we have Trump not in the question. We don't have this president in the question. But certainly when we come around to you asking about the impeachment, we can't help but have the president involved here, right?
That's right. So our next step then was to ask our respondents whether they believe it was appropriate for the House of Representatives to open an impeachment inquiry into the president as a result of this conduct. And here, the same partisan divide that we've grown accustomed to emerges. Over 80% of Democrats say the impeachment inquiry is appropriate. Over 80% of Republicans say that it's not. And here we have most independents favoring the impeachment inquiry.
Mm-hmm. So what does that tell you? Because this inquiry up to this point behind closed doors, but of course considerable leaking here of some of the testimony here. The testimony, as you indicated, revealing that the president was looking to trade out certain things for an investigation of his likely foe in the 2020 general election. What's going on, do you think?
You know, the first, I think, takeaway from these data is that there's a disconnect in the public between what happened and what the result, what the consequence should be. So everybody agrees that the underlying conduct is inappropriate, but what should we do about it? Republicans simply say this is not an impeachable offense. This may have been bad, but it's not something that rises to that level. I think this helps to explain why Republicans have been so focused on the process here. Mm-hmm. Remember, Republican objections to the impeachment proceedings in the House have to do with the fact that the depositions have been conducted in secret and not, you know, the entire membership of the House has not yet voted to open impeachment proceedings.
They're planning to on Thursday, but go ahead, yes.
That's right. So it's all been about process, and it hasn't been about what the president is actually said to have done. And I think the reason for that is they're probably seeing the same numbers that we do. They understand that the public doesn't agree with this kind of conduct. So I think the best case they can make is to say that the process is flawed.
Mm-hmm. And back to your earlier question about foreign influence, 81% of Americans say it is not okay for political candidates in this country to ask for assistance from a foreign government to help them win an election. You have is not okay rather than is. Does that rise to high crimes and misdemeanors, which would be a reason for impeachment, right? So the wording is important.
That's right. So the wording in the Constitution says that a president can be impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors. Well, of course, what does that mean? You know, if you go back and you read the Federalist Papers, which are the essays that were written by Alexander Hamilton and James Madison, helping us to interpret the Constitution, it's essentially an abuse of the public trust. It's not actually a legal term. It's not referring to a specific kind of crime. It is a broader abuse of the office of president or the public trust. Thus, it's a political judgment.
Right. And a judgment that this president would not have been acting in the national interest, in some other interest.
Right. So not acting in the national interest would be an abuse of that public trust.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If you've just joined us, my guest is Peter Hansen, Grinnell College Associate Professor of Political Science, National Poll Director of the new Grinnell College National Poll came out today. So Peter is helping us sort of looking at how they designed these set of poll questions, giving us analysis as well. So if we've, what else is there to say about the impeachment and the impeachment inquiry? Because that's an important thing, and you've divided it up. Should the president be impeached and removed from office in one question, another one about the inquiry, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. A lot of people forget that there are actually two steps to removing a president from office. The House of Representatives has to impeach the president. Once that happens, then the Senate would have to hold a trial. And if two-thirds of senators would vote to convict the president after that trial, then the president would be removed from office. So we asked about both of those things. Was the House right to open an impeachment inquiry? And should the president be removed from office? And our respondents on that removal question were very closely divided. 42% said yes, 44% said no, the president should not be removed. But here again, there is a substantial partisan divide. Democrats are already ready to remove the president. 80% of Republicans or more said no.
Mm-hmm. What does this tell you as we move forward in the coming weeks? The Democrats speeding up the inquiry process, going to open it up to more public testimony, we think. Given these poll numbers, what are you expecting in the coming weeks in terms of how this may impact public attitude, or can one say?
Well, it's difficult to say, but I think one of the dynamics we've seen over the course of this presidency is how hard it is to move public opinion. You know, there's always this sort of chatter in the media, you know, this latest event that's happened, right? Is this the thing
right.
that's really going to move opinion on the president? And it hasn't so far. And so I think the question is, you know, as impeachment proceedings start to move into the public eye and the public can really start to hear from these officials who have been testifying, learn more about their what they've been saying, you know, the question we have is, will that shape opinion? Now, I'm sort of skeptical on that front because the real question is, will it move Republican opinion?
Right.
And the reason I say that is because if the president is impeached in the House and the Senate conducts an impeachment trial, the question is, how will Republican senators who constitute a majority right now in the Senate view those proceedings? What message will they get from their voters? And if Republican voters remain lined up behind the president and remain skeptical of these impeachment proceedings, then it's hard to see how any Republican senator will believe it to be in their interest to convict the president.
Mm. Interesting analysis, Peter. Let's move on to some other questions in this Grinnell-Seltzer poll. The president as a role model. Tell us about that. That's an interesting one.
That's right. So one of our questions about Donald Trump's approval was whether or not people believe he serves as a role model that people admire. And only 26% of people said the answer to that question was yes, that they did approve of him serving as a role model. I think this is really indicative of the larger problems facing this president. Again, why isn't he benefiting from the strong economy? It's because there's all this other conduct that we've all been seeing, the tweets, the insults.
Right. And we hear it from Republicans, too, that to whatever degree they may agree with his agenda and what he's accomplished in terms of the Supreme Court, the district courts, the appeals courts, and so forth, the tax law and so forth, they agree with some of what he's accomplished, but the character of the president is something that's put in question here.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I think, you know, there's when Donald Trump won in 2016, I think a lot of people started wondering, is there some sort of, you know, political genius in operation here? Is he seeing something about politics that we don't? Is there something about his conduct that is more than it seems? And I think the answer for the American people is no, they don't like this conduct. Right. To the extent that Donald Trump is being successful in office, it's because he's overcoming, these other troubles.
This is a weight he has to carry.
It's actually weighing him down. I think it's a reason why 50% of people say they can approve of his handling of the economy but only 38% want to see him reelected.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the election, in the general election in just over a year. This is a national poll that you're looking at, over 1,000 voters. By the way, let's get a little methodology in here so that we know who you selected for this. How did you select this? How can a poll of just over 1,000 voters reflect the national mood on these questions?
Well, you know, that, of course, is the magic of statistics, that we can take a random sample of the American population, and through the law of numbers, that we can draw from that small sample a representative sample of American opinion, and we can measure it with a fair degree of accuracy. So based on those 1,000 people, we can zero in on public opinion with a margin of error of about 3%.
And these are likely voters.
Well, we actually surveyed the whole population, but we do have a subset of likely voters, so we can look specifically at their attitudes when it's appropriate.
All right. And that is the most important group when you're talking about an election.
Right.
Let's talk about the election. You polled people about who's fired up about it, the 2020 election.
Right. So this was quite an interesting question. So we asked our likely voters whether they thought it was personally important for them to be involved in campaign activities other than voting in the 2020 election. So that would be things like going door to door, knocking on doors, talking to voters, handing out leaflets, making phone calls, going to rallies, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the findings here are really quite extraordinary. There is a 20-point difference between Democrats and Republicans in terms of whether they believe it's very important for them to be involved in that way in the 2020
race. So this measures passion, engagement.
Exactly, exactly. So Democrats are much more fired up by that measure for the 2020 race than Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Other questions here. You talked about the immigrants. Of course, they've been controversial. Immigration policy has been controversial for many years in this country. What did you specifically want to find out in these regards?
Well, one of the reasons we've been asking about immigration, and we did it on this poll and we did it on previous polls as well, is because this has been such a focus for this president. I mean, we hear a lot of anti-immigrant rhetoric from the president, a lot of talk about the southern border. And simply, listening to the TV news or reading the newspaper, you might think that we are in a deeply anti-immigration moment in our history, that nativism is on the rise and the American public is anti-immigrant. We just don't find that at all. The vast majority of our respondents think that immigrants benefit the United States. So we asked about this in two different ways in this particular poll. We asked our respondents whether immigrants benefit American culture by enriching American culture, and we asked whether immigrants benefit the American economy. In both cases, a bipartisan majority of Americans said yes.
Mm. So does this for you as a political scientist, show a political disconnect? We have a president who was elected with one of his main messages being sort of anti-immigrant.
That's right. Well, I think, again, the president is speaking to a relatively small slice of the electorate. His base is not a majority. It never has been, right? So while there are voters in the United States with anti-immigrant views, they don't constitute a majority. In fact, a majority of Americans are broadly accepting of immigration and believe that immigrants enrich our society.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most interesting findings here is we also asked our respondents whether or not they interact with immigrants on a regular basis. Do they do so every day?
Mm-hmm.
Is it almost never? And there is a clear pattern here that virtually any amount of contact with immigrants bolsters people's attitudes. They are more likely to see immigrants as benefiting American culture and the American economy if they interact with immigrants.
Mm-hmm. So the more contact, the more positive attitude you have toward immigrants.
That's exactly right. When we interact with immigrants on a daily basis, I think it allows Americans to see just how, the kind of vibrancy they add to American life.
Mm-hmm. And so when we see these pro-immigrant campaigns, they've been looking at similar poll numbers when they say, reach out to your neighbor if that person has a different language, a different skin color. Let's make some connections here for the benefit of us all.
That's right. And when those connections happen, it really changes the way that people see immigrants.
Peter Hansen is with me, if you just joined us, of Grinnell College, talking about the latest Grinnell College national poll. We have just a couple minutes left. I wanted to get to this question because I think it's really interesting, and people can look at it online. You've got it demonstrated in a bar graph. You picked out certain phrases or words and asked people if it described them. Tell us about it, because there's some interesting monikers that you have people accept or not accept here.
Well, that's right. So we ask people, we offer them a variety of political terms and see how they react to them. So do you identify yourself as a feminist? Do you identify yourself as a progressive? But we came up with a new phrase for this poll, and that is tired of the circus in politics.
Everyone's hand goes up.
Well, that's exactly what happened. Nearly 90% of our respondents said that they were tired of the circus in politics. That's everybody. It's Democrats, it's Republicans, it's independents. And I think what we're tapping into here is this sort of sense of exhaustion almost. You know, when you read the newspaper in the morning, what's it going to be today? You know, what's the latest thing that's happened?
Right.
You know, it just seems like we're in this extraordinary time. The president is saying things we don't usually hear presidents say. There's impeachment proceedings in the House of Representatives. It's always something, right? And I get the sense that it's weighing people down. There's a degree of exhaustion in American politics right now.
A few parting words before we say goodbye here. What's the future of this poll? What will we be looking at in the future? Or can't you say at this point?
So we have two more polls scheduled. One will be coming out in April. And so we'll have some of the Democratic primaries under our belt at this point, and we'll be able to get a better sense of where those Democratic candidates stand. And then we'll conduct another right around Labor Day in 2020 as we are getting ready for the presidential election so we can get a sense of where things stand then.
Okay. Peter, people interested in the details digging into this data should go where online?
Well, if they go to the Grinnell College website, they'll see a link for the Grinnell College National Poll. We've got the results up. We've got the crosstabs up, and I encourage them to take a look.
Okay. Peter Hansen, Grinnell College Associate Professor of Political Science, National Poll Director. Thanks for coming into the studio. Really interesting polling, questions you have there, and analysis. Peter Hansen, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.